We continue our Easter celebration today, the 50 days set aside to celebrate that Jesus was raised from the dead. Today, the witnesses share with us that they saw him, that they heard him, that they touched him, that they felt him breathe upon them. All the things that we consider essential to our faith were the work of Jesus Christ. They were his doing. In Luke, the things that we consider to be the crucial pieces of the story come out as a series of events. Jesus' suffering, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, his appearance to the 12, his ascension into heaven, his asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and the creation of the church in Luke and Acts is this long series of events. But in the Gospel of John, all of that is condensed down into this one event, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus began the resurrection of the body here. Thomas confirmed for us Christ's physical presence. See my hands, Thomas, put your hand in my side. It is me. I am alive. Believe. Jesus here created the church. Do you notice what he said to Mary? You'll have to remember from last week since we didn't read it today. Go and tell my brothers. This is new in John's gospel. They've been disciples. They've even been called friends by Jesus. But here Jesus says, go and tell my brothers and my sisters. This is the church, a new family created around Jesus Christ. Jesus is the firstborn of this family. He had already created the church on the cross as well. You remember, he looked and he saw his mother and the beloved disciple, and he said, here is your mother, here is your son. In this, the family ties that had previously existed were undone and reformed through the cross. On the cross, Jesus unleashed a new power for the forgiveness of sins. And he reaffirmed this when he met with his brothers and sisters. Forgive the sins of others here on earth. On the cross and in his resurrection, Jesus launched the mission of the church. He had warned them in his final evening with them that he would be sending them. And here he meets them and commissions them. As the Father sent me, so I send you. In this story, we hear Jesus has asked the Father, and the Holy Spirit has come. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We can once again look back to his final words on the cross. In your translation, in the most English translations, it says, Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, that could be what John meant, but the words literally are, he bowed his head and gave the spirit. Pentecost has happened here on the cross and in the resurrection. Jesus ascended on the cross. All throughout John, these words have been tied together. Ascension, being lifted up, going to the Father. On the cross, the Son of Man was lifted up and glorified. And now Jesus is drawing all people to himself. After the cross, he is clearly revealed as our God and our Lord. And Jesus, who had died and has risen, is now present within us. He gives us his peace. He is our peace, the peace that is within us. Jesus, all of this, all of these things are caught up together into this one moment and into this one thing. And John says, believe. Not believe in just one piece or another piece, but believe all of this. Jesus is the Messiah. All of these elements. the sending of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' presence within us, His ascension to the throne in heaven and all authority being given to Him on heaven and earth, the creation of the church, the commandment to go and to forgive, the commandment to go and to serve God in the world. All of this is bound up together in Jesus and in His work. To believe in Jesus is to believe in all of those things. To turn to Jesus is to believe in all of those things. To follow Jesus is to follow Jesus into all of those things. To receive Jesus is to receive all of those things. Now, why must we receive them all? Why must we accept them all as one? It is not just a matter of being right. It is not just a matter of doctrine and theology. John tells us that we are to believe so that we may have life. Can people pick and choose which ones they will believe? Of course. And they do all the time. Are they happy? Yes. Are they able to carry on some sort of faith? Yes. We expect determinism when we look at life. We want that certainty that if I wear a seatbelt, it's always going to help. There shouldn't be any exceptions. Either it works or it doesn't. If I take medicine, it should always work the way it's supposed to work. Either it works or it doesn't. We want simple cause and effect. If the church is supposed to matter, it should just always matter. There shouldn't be anybody who could somehow get by without it. But actually, life is probabilistic. It is determined by probabilities. The vaccine is a case in point. They can tell you the percentage of chance that it's going to make a difference for you. They can't guarantee it. They can tell you the probability that it may have unintended consequences for you. And it has for people. It's not a guarantee. If we wear seatbelts, most of the time it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. If we take medicine, if we have surgery, these things aren't guarantees. We have probabilities. And at a very foundational level, and I would encourage you not to push me on this, but instead to talk to Colin Carbonell, our resident physicist, at a very foundational, basic level, all of nature is indeterminate. We cannot predict, but rather there is a range of possibilities that can happen, however rare some of them are, however great some of those chances are. And so some may not take all of that, all of Jesus, all that Jesus offers. They may not take that in. And what effect might we see in their life? Maybe nothing. But that doesn't change that all of this is one. Some may choose they're not comfortable with the Holy Spirit. They're not going to pursue the Holy Spirit. They don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's weird. Some may not be interested in the church. They've been hurt. They've seen its failings. It's so much work. It burns us out. Some may not want to be part of a mission. Who are we to go and impose what we believe or what we have received on others? Some may say forgiveness is not possible in this circumstance. Some may not believe in the resurrection of the body. And look, they are fine. They still have some kind of faith in Jesus. They're happy and they're doing well. But we preserve them, these things, as crucial. The church has preserved these things as crucial for 2,000 years. Even though some have been indifferent, even though some have rejected one or more of these elements. And perhaps at no point has the church ever been perfect. Did I say perhaps? Definitely. The church has not been perfect at any one point. But the exceptions don't disprove the rule and the whole. The fullness of life that Jesus Christ accomplished for us in His death and His resurrection is offered to us in all of these things. But what is life, we might ask? Well, there's a basic kind of life. We breathe, we eat, we sleep, we move, we think. At the same time, we would recognize, perhaps all of us, that there's something else, there's something more. Captured in some of our expressions, like, there was this time when I felt so alive. It wasn't that their heart was beating more or their lungs, they were able to breathe more, but there's just some other intangible quality that made that moment or that part of life seem more alive, more lively. It is possible, especially in this age perhaps, especially in the West, it is possible and perhaps even a common experience that we don't feel alive. We find ourselves in a grocery store behind a wall of shampoos and our fluorescent lights. We think and we feel that the world is flat. And is this all there is? We punch in, we punch out, we get in our car, we drive through traffic, and we wonder, is this all there is? It is not an uncommon feeling to be alive and yet to feel disconnected from God, from other people, from the meaning of daily activities. Life, day by day, though we are alive, can feel empty, we can feel isolated, we can wonder what the point is. Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and have life in abundance. Jesus Christ is life itself, the Word of God made visible. Become flesh. Life came, the source of life came and merged with creation, merged with matter, and was part of this world. And so on the one hand, in the face of illness and death, Jesus has created a new life, one that is eternal, one that cannot be defeated by death any longer. We have the proof in his physical resurrection. But even now, each day, Jesus Christ, within us through the Holy Spirit, gives us life. A sense of the realness of this world and of our experiences. A sense of connection to God and to one another and to nature. A sense of energy within us. And we have this grasped, seen dimly by Ezekiel, a time that was coming when the Holy Spirit would descend upon humanity, when the dead would rise, when we would be transformed with new hearts, when we would be forgiven and would forgive, when the desolate places of nature would once again flourish, when destroyed cities would be rebuilt. Jesus came to give us all of these gifts, and it is one with him. Now, I don't know if any of you are going to spot the problem with these cookies. Maybe some of you are wondering, how could there be anything wrong with a cookie? What could possibly be the problem? Some of you know me well enough that can spot the infection, the way these are tainted and now are completely inedible. Some person has put raisins in this otherwise perfectly good cookie. The same problem happens over and over again. If someone hands you a butter tart, I love butter tarts, and I take one bite, and there's this flavor, this texture, it just permeates the whole otherwise sanctified goodness of the treat. Now, what might I want to do with this good gift? Some would just say, just pick them out. Everybody else wants the raisins. They say, well, I'm going to, you know, make this awful mess here and try and pick them out, the things that I don't want. Or I could grow up, I suppose. Try and learn to like them. You know, after 50 years, almost, I think I should be allowed to say the things I don't like anymore. But this is what we do with our salvation. We are picking and choosing the parts that we want to believe in. But we're missing out on the whole when we do that. Now, perhaps if you're like me and there was already some resistance to one of those elements, there's a lingering taste left when you take that bite. If the church has hurt you and you come out of obedience to Jesus because you believe, there may be a lingering taste of hurt as you participate. If you're uncomfortable with the thought of the Holy Spirit living within you and empowering you, it may be with some discomfort that you take that step. If you have been particularly traumatized by somebody, forgiveness may come with some discomfort and may never be able to swallow it completely. And yet this is what Jesus offers us in his death and the resurrection. In the coming weeks, we are going to look in particular at the creation of the church and some of the practices that we have been given. The church that Jesus made on the cross, the new family that was formed by when he called us brothers and sisters. Now, we all understand that there are different kinds of connections. When you go through some sort of intense experience with somebody, whether it's intense suffering or intense joy with another person or a group of people, something binds you together. When you see them later on in life, you have that moment that you can go back to. You've been bound together by that experience. Or we talk about the families that we were born into. We have a connection there. We say blood is thicker than water. We recognize that there's a bond there, even if we've walked away from that family. We may have the connection that comes with being part of a shared group, a shared language, a shared culture. If you've ever gone from one culture into another, where you're in a place where they don't speak the same language you grew up with, or you're not part of the same culture you grew up with, and then you meet someone from your home culture and your home language, even if you didn't have anything in common before, there's a special bond there, a special connection. Or we have connections through an affinity group. When you find you have the same interests, the very same interests as someone else, you're suddenly connected with one another. Now, all of these sorts of connections can be lived out. We can choose to live them out, or we can choose to disregard them. We can choose even to reject those connections. It is the same or similar with the church. The church was created by Jesus. We have this connection. We are brothers and sisters. And this church is where we are living that out. And we're living out all of those gifts that Jesus has given to us. This is where we live them out so that we may have life. This community, this family is where we live those gifts out so that the next generation might have as much of a picture as possible of what the fullness of life in Jesus Christ can look like. That they might have a picture, a bit of an experience, a bit of a taste of the whole that Jesus created on the cross and in his resurrection. You will remember, those of you who were with us several months ago, when Christopher chose to be baptized here in person. Christopher, of course, had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's a young man of 22. We had been praying for him for years. We dearly love his family. His grandparents are a part of this church. His father grew up here. Christopher moved to Regina to be near the cancer ward, to be near his family. And he knew that we had been praying. And he said he wanted to be baptized. Now, he could have chosen to do that privately. We gave him that option, given everything he was going through, given everything that that would mean. He could have chosen to do it just with a few people, but he was determined and he was forceful. I want to do it Sunday morning with the whole church. Christopher chose that to show us what it means to be part of a family, to be part of the church. He knew we had been praying for him, and he felt that keenly, even though we had hardly known him. And he wanted it to celebrate his baptism with all of us. It was a picture for us, a taste of the fullness of life that comes through Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. I believe it was Dell, wrote this week that we have been nailed together on the cross. That we are brothers and sisters in the chains of peace together. This is a fact. Now we can choose to disregard it, to make little of it, or even reject it. But it is a fact. It is something that we can receive as part of the gift of life through Jesus. So let us do that. Let us be the church. Let us make the most of this being a family through Jesus for one another, for the next generation, and for the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.